Book of Proverbs, chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. We'll start down there in verse 32, read to the end of the chapter. It says, "Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." Let's pray. Father, it's your help we need, because as men, we fail. Cannot even exist without you. And we just ask you to work tonight. Open our eyes to see the things we need to see. Help us to glean from your word. And may your presence be real in our midst tonight. May we truly see the things that you want us to see. Thank you, Father. We love you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17. I know you know those verses. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." And then Proverbs 1, 5. "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." And so the instruction here that we're told to hear in verse 33 is very clearly the Word of God. Let's go back and just run through the whole chapter and kind of make that become real to our heart before we get into these verses that climax this Proverbs chapter 8. It says in verse 1, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice?" We can answer those questions. The answer is yes, does. "She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man." Now I want you to notice as we read on, we'll call some attention to some of the words that are used in this proverb, chapter 8. He says, "O ye simple," make a note of that, "understand wisdom. And ye fools, be of an understanding heart," an understanding heart. "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things." Notice that, excellent things. "And the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge." Find knowledge. "Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold," better than silver and gold, "for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. It's more to be desired than silver and gold. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, counsel, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. That's the right kind of riches. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that I love to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Wow. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, over forever the earth was. Boy, that reminds us of Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the ending. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the deep, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him. I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Just turn back to Psalms 19, and we pick up in verse 11. And if you listen to those words that I pointed out, listen to them here in Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. See the comparison there? And how that Proverbs 8 is talking about the Word of God. But beyond that, it moves to the Word Himself, Jesus Christ. Look in Luke chapter 21 and verse 33. Luke chapter 21 and verse 33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, this is Jesus speaking, shall not pass away. And then in John chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. Then gathered the chief priests, I'm in chapter 11, chapter 12, verse 47 and 48. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And then look in chapter 6 of John in verse 63. Chapter 6, verse 63. Chapter 6 of John, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What we're talking about here is the Word of God Himself and the Word, the Bible. This Bible is all about Jesus, what we've said before. Prophesied that He would come, tells us how that man fell into sin, tells us how that God would provide a Savior, gives us the history of the people the Savior would come through, gives us the teaching of His coming in the Gospels and how He died and was buried and rose again in His teachings throughout and how He will come again in the end of the book, Revelation, and receive us unto Himself. And it's all there about Jesus, the Word of God. And He taught us how to live our lives and what to do. And we are to hear. Listen again, verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto Me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep My ways. We are to listen to the Word of God. And notice what He says, and refuse it, verse 33, and refuse it not. That word refuse is translated, not only refuse, but it's also translated uncover. It's translated naked. It's translated avenging, avoid, go back, bear, let, made naked, set at naught, and perish. There's a way that it's translated in the Old Testament. So it picks up for us the very clear picture that don't be spiritually naked. You know, if you are not into the Word of God like you ought to be, and you're not hearing the instruction of the Word of God, and you're not making it a daily part of your life, which we'll see here in a minute, He talks about. If you're not doing that, you're allowing yourself to be spiritually naked. Now, I know there's not a one of us that would be so embarrassed and so ashamed to walk in here physically naked. It would be so embarrassing. I don't think that we could do it. You know, it's so embarrassing. But many of us walk in here spiritually naked, because we don't hear the instruction. We don't get into the Word of God like we should. Now let's look in Psalm 50 and verse 15. And we'll run through this just quickly through these verses down to the end of the chapter there in Psalm 50 and verse 15. And see what the Scripture says here. It says, "And call upon Me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify Me. But unto the wicked God saith, What hast thou to do to declare My statutes, or that thou shouldest take My covenant in thy mouth?" Don't claim the Word of God if you're not going to follow it. "Seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest My words behind thee, when thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him," went along with him, "and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou settest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order." You know, some people say, "Well, you know, me and God, we got something going." Sorry about that. You aren't God. You are not God, and you don't have something going. None of us do. God is God, and it's His way, and that's it. It says, "Thought I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. I'm going along with you, me and God. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth Me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." And so God will come through for us and deliver us from the day of trouble if we're willing to hear His instruction in His Word. Hear instruction and be wise. Wise man listens to the Word of God. He guides his life by the Word of God. He lives by the Word of God. It's not what I think. So much of Christianity today is that we think we have come up with ways and methods and things that we can do that will get the work of God forward. And then some of those ways and methods, no problem. But some of them we question in the light of God's Word. And when we question about that, they say, "Well, oh, well, you have to understand the day and time we're living." We're never living in a day and time that goes outside of the Word of God. We are to follow the Word of God and live by the Word of God in all areas of our lives. Our standards, the things we set up, all that we do, how we live our lives is to be guided by the Word of God. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Don't be spiritually naked. If you won't listen to the Word of God, throw it behind your back. I'm going to do what I do. The Word of God can be there, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Notice he says in verse 34, "Blessed is the man that heareth me." The man that heareth me. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and look at this passage. Just let it sink in a little bit. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. "Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Sometimes we can get so busy that we don't hear the instruction. We don't listen to the Word of God. We need to hear. You know that word "hear"? It's interesting. It's mostly translated "hear," but it's also translated "hearken," "obey," "obedient," "diligently." And the word in its essence in the Hebrew has the meaning of, it has the idea of not only hear it, but hearken, but listen. It's like James said, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." We're not only to hear the Word of God, but we are to hearken. That's what happens many times when we hear the Word of God preached. We read it in our devotions. And if we were given a quiz over what we read in our devotions, we couldn't pass it. Because we were thinking about too many other things while we were reading. We were thinking about what we were going to do that day. We were maybe thinking about an issue that came up in our life. Or we thought, get some other thought in our mind. You know, there is a real devil and he works to get us off course from the Word of God. And so we don't really hear it. And we can't hearken to something we don't really hear. So many people know what the Word says. And they just outright don't hearken. They don't do it. I've heard people say, "I know what the Bible says, but..." You see, in my situation, in my circumstance, well, I don't care about your circumstance and your situation. What matters is what God said. And if we learn to follow it, our circumstances and situations would be different. "I know what the Bible says, but..." Oh, that's a dangerous place to go right there. "Blessed is the man that heareth me." It's going to be what God said, period. I'm not going to rationalize the way. I'm not going to think that I have a better idea. I'm going to sit at Jesus' feet. Some people get so busy, like Martha, that they don't really have time to get into the Word of God. Well, how can you hearken to something? How can you hear it if you don't get into it and listen? It's important to hear. Now, notice what he says next. Watching, what is the next word? Daily. This isn't something that we just do when we come to church on Sunday. This is watching daily at my gates. Now, let's just run through some Psalms real quickly to get the idea behind this watching daily at His gate. We're going to start with Psalm 65. We'll move through them pretty fast. Get through these scriptures. In Psalm 65, and look at verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Just getting into the courts of the Lord. You know, if you're in the courts of the Lord, you're talking about getting into His presence. And how do we get into His presence? By reading the Word of God and prayer. Our prayer time, our reading the Word of God. Look in chapter 84. Chapter 84, verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. That's why some people do dwell in the tents of wickedness, because they don't get into the Bible and they don't read it and study it daily, watching at His gates. Look in chapter 27 and verse 4. Chapter 27 and verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Now, if we're going to do that, we're going to have to get into the Word of God. It's going to have to be a daily part of our life. Look in Psalm 119, the psalm that deals so much. There's so many verses here. We don't have time to look at them all, but let's look at a few of them in Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? To lay the Bible down and walk on it? No, it means to get in the Bible and be reading it and trying to hearken to what it says. Not just be a hearer, but be a doer of the Word. Look in verse 11. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Now, you can't hide it in your heart if you don't get in it, if you don't hear. And then look in verse 16. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy Word. I'm not going to do that. As a believer, I'm going to be in the Word daily. I'm going to watch at His gates, watching daily at His gates. And then look in verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Boy, when you get down and your soul is heavy, it says, strengthen thou me according unto thy word. You can find strength from the Word of God if you work your daily devotions the way God wants you to work them. You'll find strength to overcome the heaviness of life. Dread going to work? You dread something you have to face at work? Maybe you have to confront somebody at work? Don't neglect your time in the Word of God. Start your day in the Word of God and ask God for strength. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Get into the Word of God and strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Then let's look at another one here, verse 50. Verse 50 says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. It's livened me up. It's got life back into me. My affliction is comforted by the word of God. Get into the word of God. Make it a comfort of your life. Don't let your devotion time just be a dreary thing. A duty thing? Okay, I read my chapters and I had my prayer time. I had to kind of fly through my prayer time because, you know, I didn't allow enough time for it. So I just flew through that and kind of hit my list, skip and got through it. Well, what did you read in your devotion? Well, I don't know. I read my chapters, but I can't remember just what it was all about. You know, if that's you, that's your devotion time is... It's got serious problems. You're not hearing this instruction that we're taught here in this 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Look in verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Well, you get into the Word of God and it'll make you think on your ways. It'll make you think about it. If you're running your daily devotions right, it'll make you think right about your day and those things that you shouldn't have been directing to. It'll give you direction. We all know Psalm 105. We quote it, "Thy word is a lamp," verse 105 of Psalm 119. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It's going to show you the way to walk. It's like a lamp that guides you. 162. Here's another one. "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." Could you say that about your devotion time? "Oh, I found something in the Word today. Man, God spoke to my heart. Man, it just like the verse jumped out of the Bible and grabbed a hold of me and jerked me around and threw me down." Does your devotion time do that to you? It should. If not, you need to work on it. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Look in 147, back to 147. "I prevented," that's the old English meaning of that I went first. "I prevented the dawning of the morning." I went before the dawning of the morning and cried. "I hoped in thy word," starting out the day. And then notice verse 148, "mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word." Morning and night, meditating in the word of God. Isn't that what God told Joshua when he was going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land? To meditate therein day and night. Daily watching at my gates. Boy, if you're not into your devotion time, you are missing out on instruction that you could have and the blessings that God wants to put into your life. Look in 130, This is again in not Psalm 130, but this is the 130th verse of Psalm 119. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Well, the days in America were great days. I don't know how they do in Brazil, but back here in America in the early days, the Bible used to be the only textbook we had in the schools. We taught reading, writing, arithmetic from the Bible, and those days were strong days in America for the Lord. Raised up a lot of missionaries. Now America is declining in missionaries, and America is becoming a mission field itself. Boy, you get into the Word of God, it gives wisdom. Then let's move on here to 133. "Order my steps in thy word." Did you realize that when you have that daily devotional time, you're getting your marching orders? Do you look at it that way? Do you ask God to give you something, to give you direction for that day? Or is it just read through your Bible verses and your chapters, however many you determine that you're going to read, and what did you read? I don't know, but I did it. Good Christian, read my Bible. Read it every day. What did you read? Well, I just read it. I tell you, I read my Bible, so I'm okay. But the Bible says, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." A lot of Christians get caught up in the wrong things because they don't hear instruction. They don't hear it. They don't get into the Word of God. "Watching daily my gate." That's a daily thing into the Word of God. Day and night, as the Bible says. Then look in 135. Verse 135. "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes." Or if you work your devotions right, the face of God will shine upon you. And your face will shine too, just like it did with Moses. There's a different glow about you when you are in watching at His gates daily, and you work to make it a time with your God. Why do you just speed through it? Why do you just think, "I'm okay because I'm a regular reader of the Bible and a prayer, and it's just all routine"? Make it something. Make it real in your life. Determine to hearken, to listen, to hear. Watch daily at my gates. Look in verse 112. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Stay at it in the Word of God. And then the final verse of Psalm 119, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Are you a lost sheep tonight? When it comes to your devotion time, are you a lost sheep? It's not that big thing in your life. I would think when you study the Bible, one of the biggest things in the believer's life is that daily watching at His gates. More important than to be cumbered about much serving, to sit at Jesus' feet and to draw nigh unto God. And He will draw nigh unto you. In John 14, I believe it is, He said, we will make our abode with you. Jesus said about Himself and the Father. And then, sometimes, God has to afflict us to get us into His Word like we should be. Look in Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Sometimes God has to use affliction to pull us back to that walk we need to be with Him. It could be in many areas of our life. Could be that that car we like so well, we end up a deer runs out in front of it, or all kinds of things that God can use to afflict us to get us back where we ought to be and back into His Word and to hear and to be wise. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, and then notice, waiting at the posts of my doors. Waiting at the post of my doors. I can't understand why God doesn't do it. Just wait. He said it. He'll do it. More Christians get into trouble because of impatience. Not willing to wait on the Lord. We all know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We know those scriptures, but will we just pay attention to them? That word waiting is interesting. It's translated mostly keep, observe, heed, keeper, preserve, beware, mark, watchman. And then clear down the list of the times it's used is wait, watch, regard, save. It's translated in a way that it means to us to stay at it. Waiting at the post of my doors. Staying at it. This is not a thing for the Christian to just be in the Word of God on a hit and miss basis. I don't even think it's a thing to just say, well, I'm going to open my Bible up today and wherever it comes to, that's what I'm going to read. Well, I think you ought to have a systematic way of reading through the Bible. Maybe you read some in the Old, you read some in the New. You might read a proverb every day. The proverbs line up with the days of the month. And you might read that proverb. But you should have some kind of a systematic way of reading the Word of God and that you're reading through it. And that you stay at it, watching at the posts of my doors. staying at it in the Word of God. It gives the meaning of that word waiting, gives the meaning of just to keep on keeping on, to stay with it. Make your devotion time something that really is a benefit to your life. Not just a routine. Not just something you do. If that's the way it is in your life as a Christian, you are really missing out. You're really missing out on this, "Blessed are they that keep my ways, hear instruction, be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors." Notice the blessing here. "For whoso findeth me, findeth life." You want to have real living, make your devotion time come alive. Get into the Word of God like you should, and you will find, just as it says, "Whoso findeth me, findeth life." Jesus first. You know, the more you get into the Word, the easier it is to make Jesus first in your life. He is the Word, John chapter 1. "The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So just keep doing what a believer should do, and God will come through in His time. He will deliver us, just as He said. He will keep His promises. He will bring us through. I want you to just quickly look at some verses here in Psalm 27. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Just quickly look at these. "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Chapter 62 of Psalms. Chapter 62 and verse 5. 62 verse 5. "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." I'm expecting from Him. I know God is going to do what He said. Make your devotion time alive in your life. Let's read on here and down to verse 8. "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him." Once in a while. No. At all times, you people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Which means, think of that. And then, chapter 130 of Psalms, 130 verse 5. Oh, some of these are familiar verses. We've read them time and time again. But will we hear? Psalm 130 verse 5. "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope." Chapter 145, verse 14. "The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. And so, whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." Do you think the Lord is pleased with your devotion time? When you finish reading your Bible and your prayer, do you think He's pleased with that? Do you think that you have really walk into His courts in your devotion time the way you do it, that you have really walked into His courts and into His very presence, in the very throne room of God. That's what it tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 when we pray, come boldly to the throne of grace, and we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And when we go in our devotions and our prayer time, we're moving into the throne room of God. Does that become a reality to us? Do we think that God is really pleased with our devotion time? If we make it what it ought to be, we shall obtain the favor of the Lord. We'll find direction. We will find that He will bless us. Our days will go better. We will see things happen that we never thought would happen. God will do great and mighty things. But most of the time, we honor Him with our lips, but our heart is far from Him. Get your heart in your devotions. Make it a real time in your life. The conclusion is verse 36, and I'll be done here. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. You do these things, you find life, you obtain the favor of the Lord. If you don't, you wrong your own soul. If you don't listen to the Word of God, if you don't watch daily at His gates and waiting at the post of my doors, you don't have that as the whole context of this Proverbs chapter 8 reveals, that listening to the Word of God, to hear the cry, as wisdom doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice. Can't you understand that? Crying out, and you won't listen to the Word of God. You wrong your own soul. And you cannot say that you love the Lord if you don't make that daily walk with Him real in your life. I can remember when I was first dating my wife. I met her in Bible college, and we met in the stairwell of Southside Baptist Church, and I fell in love with her. And you know what? I wanted to be with her all the time. I loved to talk to her. Still do. Loved to talk to her. Loved to be with her. And I wanted to be daily with her. Couldn't do it because of Bible college. We were only allowed to be together. Sometimes we could meet in the cafeteria and that, but we weren't allowed to be together on Friday nights. But I longed for those Friday nights to have our date time together. And you know, if you love somebody, you want to be with them. Why is our devotion time so blah? Why is it a time in our life when we just do it as a duty, and oh, I got to get it done. I've got to get going. I've got things to do, but I know I'm supposed to, so I will. Hey, if you love the Lord, that's the highlight of your day, is that time in the Word of God and prayer. That's the day I'm going to be with my Jesus. That's the time of my day I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to have Him give me guidance. You know that word wrongeth there? It's translated violently taketh away. Violated, shake off. You know, you violently take away His own soul. You take yourself off course when you don't make your devotions what it ought to be. And it's also translated made bare. You are spiritually bare. Refuse it not. That's what verse 33 says. Don't be spiritually naked. Listen, if you don't make your devotion time what it ought to be, and you don't get into the Word of God and pray like you ought to pray as a Christian, and that's not a priority of your life, you are running around spiritually naked. Make it a part of your life. Make it come alive. Work at it. Oh, sure, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of distractions. There's a busy life that we live, and things press down upon us, and the devil will use everything he can, but that can't stop us from working at it to make our devotions what they ought to be. That word hate is translated all they that hate me, love death. It's also translated enemy and enemies. Reminds us of James 4:4. The friend of the world is the enemy of God. Friend of the world is the enemy of God. Oh, I hope you'll get the message tonight. I hope I'll get the message to make my devotions more. To make my time with God each daily. A time that when I'm watching daily at my gates and at His gates and waiting at the posts of His doors, I'll make that time real in my life. Not just a routine. Not just something to hurry through. But make it real. And start to enjoy it. And as the psalmist said in Psalm 119, I rejoice in Thy Word. Don't look at it as a chore. Look at it as a joy. Start working toward that. Make it a real time in your life. You know what it'll do? It'll make you a different Christian. It'll make you a different person. It'll make you more of a servant of Jesus Christ. It'll revolutionize your life as a Christian. If you get this 8th chapter of Proverbs deep down in your heart and practice it. Let's pray. Father, thank You for giving us the Word of God and all that it is to our lives and how it will help us and how it will encourage us and all those things that You told us in Psalm 19 that it'll do for our lives. More to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. By the keeping of them, there is great reward. Help us to realize that. Help us to get out of this apathetical, lazy, daily devotional life. But help us to make our daily devotions come alive. That we hear the cry of wisdom. That we hear the voice of understanding. That we make the Bible real in our lives. Help our devotion times never to be the same, but to increase as we seek to hear Your voice and to walk with our God. Work on our hearts. And those that may be here and have never come to the truth of the gospel, may they not leave here in that condition. But may they get it settled. Work on our hearts, Father. Draw us closer to You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask every head bowed, every eye closed. And maybe you'd say, Pastor, I need prayer that my devotion time will be more for God.